Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and distribution systems, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, the many customization options ensure that your space is tailored to your unique needs. Hey, we use them here at Walk and Talk. Say goodbye to chaos and hello to order with Metro Shelving. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency. Food fam, this is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one podcast in the country. We're podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get to eat it. First things first, last week, Jeff, Pooch, and I were in the MIA for the F&B at Sea Show. Was a terrific event. Super, super cool. Also, we had the chef, Jennifer H. Booker. She's on several James Beard committees. James Beard chef herself. She's a multi-cookbook author and also a culinary philanthropist at Oklahoma State University Institute of Technology. It's a mouthful. Love it. Stay tuned for that. Probably coming up sometime midweek. Thank you, Peninsula Food Service, for supplying the proteins for today's Productione. Chefs in the Central Florida area, Peninsula is the largest distributor for Creekstone Farms beef in the Southeast USA, complete with a fully staffed butcher shop to help you solve your kitchen inconsistencies, baby. Check out their dry age program, too. It's awesome. All right, so our guest this week is pastry chef Bobby Gonzalez. He's a cookbook author and a contestant on the current season of the Food Network's Spring Baking Championship. Ooh, it's going to be so sweet. Stay tuned. Chef Bobby's on deck. Jeff, we've got, before Bobby comes on, we have the... There's like a lot of chefs here today. It's chefs everywhere. We've got the chef, Stephen Hicks, from the Porch Meadery and Market on the line. Jefferson, baby, pop the clutch and slam into that pre-shift, and let's talk about our next special event dinner this very weekend. It's 420. You know what that means. By the way, Chef Stephen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good afternoon, and I'm excited to be here to talk about this great event that we're going to be holding on Saturday.
The badassery that's going to be surrounding this whole dinner is amazing. And, you know, and really, and this doesn't happen often, but I'm going to kind of take the back seat here, and I'm just going to let the chefs talk here, you know,
you can call it the Guinness.
You call Guinness, get me a Guinness.
How about yeah,
that?
Definitely.
How about that? No, but no, for real. Look, it's going to be a great show. It's 420 themed. There's a great wine list. There's great food. I'm going to let you guys, you know, kind of dive into that. And, of course, we're going to record it professionally. We're going to do our walk and talk style media magic to it, and it's going to be great. Jeff, go.
Yeah, but first we have to talk about the one shot that we did today that we put on the bottom line. So, BTS. So, the you guys have to follow Carl if you're not following him.
Are you going to do this to me?
Yeah. You did it to yourself, man. We did the behind-the-scenes shoot, and he was like, oh, my God, look at this. It's great. And he went for the porterhouse for the lamb. And basically what it was gras masala, roasted garlic, rubbed lamb porterhouse with roasted garlic infused hummus, smoked olive oil, and then cucumber mint chimichurri. Carl thought it was avocado.
Well, wait a minute. So first of all, in full disclosure, normally – I'm with everybody while everything is happening, right? And today I was actually editing the last week's podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So when I got up, I just got up, went straight in, and And I'm just, and I thought it looked like guacamole, you know?
No, it's fine. You can use that as your defense, but you had this how many months or a month out, right?
Dude, I don't look at this.
Obviously,
I don't look at that. I'm too busy, man. I'm a busy guy.
No, the funniest part of the whole thing is when you said guacamole, you hear me faintly in the background because you have a microphone on and you hear, it's not guacamole, it's chimichurri. And Sean was like, oh my God, that's hysterical. You got to put it out just like that. So you can either follow my story on Facebook. It will be going on my Instagram. I also have my version of it where you can clearly hear me a day that it's there. But it was a phenomenal shoot today. But what we're really about to talk about, Chef Steven, I'll bring you back on. Well, let's talk about this Munchies menu that we have on 420.
Wait, hold on a minute. Wait, what? Stop.
What?
Hold on a minute. First of all, by the way, I said it to you earlier. That was the best hummus I've ever had.
Thank you.
And I've had some hummus. That was terrific. So you know what? Hats off to you, baby.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Chef Stevens is going to be like, where's the hummus on the Munchies menu?
I didn't know you could do it. I would have.
We could put it on the charcuterie board.
We could, but Carl's taking a court home.
I am. That's true. All right, I'm stepping out. Go, baby.
All right. So, Chef, why don't you head on and talk to the listeners about the actual shop, the butcher, in the Porch Butcher Shop over there in Winter Haven, or Winter Park, sorry.
Yeah, Winter Park. Yeah, it's the Porch Meadery Market. You know, we've been under this ownership for about a year and right in Winter Park, and serving a lot of really great meats from most of them come from Peninsula Foods. We have grades from choice all the way up to Wagyu. But what makes our shop very unique is that it's very much a one-stop shop type butcher shop. We have premium sides and salads and things to really accent your meals, so you don't have to really go to any other shop in town. And we also have a sandwich shop that's open from 11 to 4 every day with gourmet deli meats and then composed dishes by our chef team here. And then we have a wonderful pokey station where you can build your own bowls or try one of our couple composed dishes that we have. But it's quite an experience. You know, we have everything you need to throw a party or even just compose, you know, a weeknight meal. So very excited. One of the things that we're getting into now that we've been kind of hitting the accelerator on is our catering program. You know, anything from an intimate, office party to we've done corporate events up to 1,000 people. So really never too small or too big. We have the means to cater to your needs, and that's us in a nutshell.
Awesome. Very awesome. And what I loved is shoes. Like when we were getting together to talk about this event, one of the things we both talked about is something that you're going to showcase. And the first thing that comes to mind is that cured clouds, which is the one thing you want to go ahead over that one and kind of match up what you're doing with the wine.
Yeah, sure. So the cured clouds, and you folks will notice that these all have pun intended names for the theme of 420 in the Munchies menu here. So what I did was beet cured some Atlantic salmon here in-house for a few days and then let it rest. I'm going to hit it with some cold smoke, make some house-made bellinis here in-house, hit it with some creme fraiche, some hackleback caviar, and then finish it off with a nice lemon cucumber relish. And the guests will be enjoying, paired with that, a Jean-Charles Boisset Brut Blanc. And I want to mention, too, that Breakthrough Beverage partnered with us on this to, you know, really supply the wines and help us with their sommelier, which will be on site that night to help, you know, explain the food along with the chefs and the thought behind each course with the wine tasting as well, too.
So you don't get that at a normal butcher shop, by the way.
No, you don't, man. That's so I'm so excited for this thing.
Yeah. And then I love the next one. I love the name, but it's my favorite cut of pork. It's the oink oink. You want to go with that one too?
Yeah. So we're going to do a play on a can-can shop with this. Made a terrific brine with char siu and gochujang. Smoked the pork belly for about 8 to 10 hours yesterday. Pressed it. We're going to score it And so that when we go to fry it, it's going to curl up like a can chop, which literally means mohawk when you translate that down. We've got a house-made Korean barbecue sauce that we're going to glaze that with while it's still hot. You know, sticking with the smoked theme, we're going to have a smoked pineapple and bird beak chili relish. One of our sponsors, Petal Honey, gave us some wonderful honeycomb to showcase on this dish as well, too. We're going to do some petite micro cilantro with this, and then the soon-to-be world-famous pickled green strawberries from Chef Jeffrey.
I appreciate that. So those microgreens also are from Cahaba Club. Our buddy over at Marvin over at Cahaba Club is doing that graciously with the wasabi green too. So that's going to be a really dope, excuse the pun, dope dish. So the next one, the resin, that one is with Creekstone Farms. This is going to be a beef tenderloin. The popped capers, I love that, by the way, the horseradish, a foie gras, aioli, the grilled focaccia crouton, and assorted microgreens is another one from you as well. The joint, this one is an achar smoked chicken. I'm going to wrap this in a spring roll wrap. It's got orange marmalade in there, or sorry, ouzo marmalade in there, and it has crunchy garlic bits in there as well. And then I did a pecan smoked burrata with some pesto to kind of make that ooey gooeyness. And the actual spring roll wraps are almost as thin as a crepe. And it's more of the Thai style. It's not an egg roll, so really thin. So it's going to look really dope. The next one after that is going to be the Puff Puff Pass. This is a pani puri. This is going to be tuna that Chef is getting in from Fast Fish, I think it is, right?
It's Lombardi Seafood. Ooh, Lombardi, right here, okay. In Winter Park.
All right, and then that's going to be topped with candied pecan powder that I had to make more because I forgot my pecans at the studio and somebody ate them, which is fine. I'm glad John enjoyed them.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
No, yeah, for the first time, right? Yeah. Never leave candied pecans at John's. And then you want to talk about the Scooby snacks because I think that's a really cool story too.
Yeah, this is something that we're becoming pretty well known for carrying here at the shop is Nightingale ice cream sandwiches. Really cool story. It's a husband and wife chef duo that decided they started wanted to make nice ice cream sandwiches. So they started with the original. We carry, I believe, five flavors, the strawberry shortcake, key lime pie, chocolate cookie monster, chocolate blackout. We're going to be slicing these up, and serving these out with, for the end of the night, all these cookies on this, ice cream sandwich are all handmade. Ice cream is all churned by this husband wife duo and, pretty much hand assembled and then wrapped in a very unique wrapper. And it's probably the best ice cream sandwich that I've ever seen in my life.
I
you're not going to eat for the next couple of days.
No, I'm on my way. I'm headed over now. and thanks to Creekstone too, man. We're gonna do some good stuff with.
Thanks to all the sponsors, yeah, actually.
Filets. Oh, it's gonna be good. I can't wait. God.
Yeah, dude, it's a powerhouse wine menu as well too. I think we kind of omitted that along the way there, but you know, Breakthrough was nice enough to help us, like I said earlier, with pairing this up and. We've got for second course Squealing Pig Sauvignon Blanc, a very unique orange Gewurztraminer from the Vice, Tooth and Nails Red Blend Paso Robles. And then my favorite in this whole lineup here is the Orange Swift Abstract Blend from California. And then those tasty ice cream Sammies are going to be going with a pretty stout chocolate block wine, Swartland.
Wow. Yes, please.
Yeah, so just so everybody understands, the Porch Restaurant Group in Orlando, the idea is to do these dinners together, collaboration with Walk and Talk Media, obviously Walk and Talk Podcast, and to really build up awareness, build up just a super coolness factor. And so you're going to be hearing, going forward into the future, you're going to hear more about the Porch and Walk and Talk. And we're going to be doing some really interesting and, dare I say, big things. Chef Steven, dude, we've known each other a long time. You are a good dude, and thank you. I appreciate you doing all the, you know, backdoor connections to all this stuff. Experience the perfect blend of culinary delights, entertainment, and education on the number one food podcast in the country, Walk and Talk Podcast. Join host Carl Fiadini and the amazing chef Jeffrey Slissel. Feed your appetite. Find this podcast on Apple and Spotify.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys, and I look forward to rolling up my sleeves and cooking and having a great event on Saturday.
And I feel I'm looking forward to not doing any of that and just enjoying myself. So, and you know, eating. You're awesome, and I'm going to eat.
But don't forget about the Tasty Cam, because Chef Steven has to he's going to have to get in front of the Tasty Cam too.
I already got with Evan. He's ready to rock and roll. Yes, we're going to have Tasty Cam's going to be you know, hot and heavy.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
so. Good. All right, Chef Steven, thank you. We'll catch you on the other side. And, you know, we have Chef Bobby Gonzalez up next.
Yep. He's a Miami boy, too.
Is he from Miami?
Yeah, you saw his post this morning.
I did, but yeah.
Was it Cafe Con Pan?
Cafe Con Pan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all about it. Oh, my gosh. All right, well, let's go. Bring him on. Let's do it. Bobby, you there?
What's up, guys?
How are you doing? Oh, yeah. Seamless. It's seamless.
Technology works.
We're so advanced, not really, here at the...
well, we're advanced in age.
Yeah, we're...
When I was young, it was a dial-up phone.
All right. Hey, Bobby, listen, Chef, thanks for being on the program. You have a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool things going on surrounding you. Before we get into it, why don't you go ahead and give an airplane view of you?
Oh, boy. That's like a continent at this point. yeah, you're not wrong. Born and raised in Miami. You know, typical like Latin, you know, upbringing, loved cooking with grandma kind of thing. I started cooking in Miami, got my first pastry chef gig in Miami, moved up with my husband to Boston. Worked in a few different spots around the city for several years, and you know, my background's always been fine dining. Did some bakery work as well. Now competing on Food Network. Did a cookbook a couple of years ago. Been all over the place. Been nonstop.
Are you? So first things first. You are a Miami Southern transplant up to, you know, wicked Boston. I mean, that's a culture shock, isn't it?
You know what? It was a culture shock. You know what the biggest culture shock was? Is now I've been up here 8 years. Was going back to Miami after 8 years and being like, "How did I do this?" Well, that was shock. I think
that was last year, right? When you went back to go do something with the Atma, right?
I was doing a pop-up dinner with Atma on Miami Beach. I hadn't been back in like 7 or 8 years, and I was like, "Wow, this has changed. This is wild."
You know, I saw so. That first of all, you're right. I mean, I've been out of Miami for 8 years, and I got to tell you, like, I don't want to go back. We went back. We were there last
week.
Yeah, but just to visit is awesome. Like, just to, like, you know, touch and
one
go.
Day.
Yeah, it's great. But like to live there, I don't want to do that again. Mm-mm. No way, man. No way. No. I mean, you know what? It's for your 20s. Like 20s.
Well, where we were specifically, definitely, it's for. And I think where they were staying too, because you guys were in. Liberty City as well. Overtown, is that where you guys were staying when you came down there? The Airbnb. Yeah. Okay, so it was right around the corner from us.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's completely different than what it was in the '80s and nineties. Let me tell you, very different.
when were you down there? What years?
I was born in 1990, and I was there till 2015. I want to say.
Okay.
John's doing the math. He's like, oh man, I was like 20.
Well, I was 16. 1990, I got my driver's license. I'm just saying. So what city were you? So you were from, where'd you go to high school?
So I went to high school, Miami Coral Park. In Doral, but I was born, our house was in Kendall.
Okay. So I was just, living in Kendall. I lived in Kendall.
Oh, right really? Before,
yeah, I was on Kendall, and I was 88th, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've still have family down there in Kendall, Pinecrest.
Yeah, it was right down the street from the mall.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Sunset Mall. Yep. Right? Yep.
Well, Sunset's further down.
Right, your falls?
Yeah.
Where, Dadeland?
Dadeland.
Yeah, Dadeland. Dadeland. I worked at the Falls in 90s. Yeah, 97, I opened up the P.F. Chang's in the Falls.
Did you really?
Yeah, I drove 56
no
miles.
No way.
Yep.
No way.
Yep, yep. Yep, that was the first P.F. Chang's in Florida.
What Bobby's trying to say is he's been there many times.
Well, anyways, what he's trying to say is, wow, you're old.
I have been.
Yeah, he was only 7.
I was a kid when I used to go to that P.F. Chang's.
That's, we got to stop. Listen, I keep telling you guys, stop bringing up the age thing, because like I can feel the audience like switching off immediately.
We got Robert here. He's fine.
Yeah, you're right.
He's going down
as far as the age. Down.
Yeah.
Level it back out. So is this your first experience on Food Network? You were on Chopped, right?
I was on Chopped, yeah, 2018. This is wow. Way back pre-pandemic. Yeah, wow. that was it's a different experience doing what we did for this to that, because that was only a 1-day experience. This one is a much longer shoot. It's a much bigger production.
Yeah, you still have you're partial way through the season, and you know you're still kicking, you're still there, and that's awesome. I saw some of the I saw some of the dishes that that you did, and I don't know. I mean, just scrolling through your Instagram, yeah. I mean,
it's a challenge. Like it's you go in there, you can't really put yourself too much in a box. You go into there knowing that there's going to be wild stuff thrown at you, and you gotta you're not in your kitchen, so first of all you gotta learn like the new equipment, kind of like the flow of everything, but then you have to be realistic. You're not at work 12 13 hours where you can really put something crazy together. You know, you're giving you 90 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours, so you got to be realistic. You can't bite off more than you can chew.
Yeah, well, just for the record, there was that one clip from the show where you would opened up, it was blue, it had something to do with prom or something like that, and you opened up the...
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was awesome the way it was versus having to... And I think somebody said something about, you know, it should have gone all the way down or whatever. I thought it gave more depth. Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool as was. Just saying. Just saying.
I got a call. I got a call on Monday, and it was funny. My wife goes, your buddy's making carrot paper. And I thought that was ridiculous. you're sitting here telling us that you got to keep it simple, and then you do that.
That one, I went a little far out. That one was fun. I got Jesse to try the carrot paper and everything. But it's one of those things that even me messed that up. It's like it came out well, but you have to like the moment you finish something, nobody's eating it instantly, so it's got to be able to hold whatever you're making. So, like, by the end of it, the paper wasn't really a paper. It, like, absorbed the moisture of the cheesecake, and it just got all kind of soft. But it's, like, little things like that you have to – it's not going out to service immediately like you were in a restaurant. So you have to approach it in a different way.
But when you executed it at the time, it hit all your points, though. Like, if you were serving that would have been a winner.
Yep. If I had, like, my silica packet, I had my container, and it's, like, finishing touch, take it to the table immediately – that's a different story.
What made you go pastry? I'm assuming that you've probably had other experiences in food service, right? I mean, what made you go pastry?
Yeah. The science of it. I think my nerdy side. I was a physics major when I left for college when I was 18. So I did that for 2 years, and I came home and I was like, I thought I loved it, but it just didn't light me up. It wasn't my passion. I always told myself if I didn't. If I'm a physicist or an engineer, I would go to culinary school because I've always loved baking. I think the science of baking is the most intriguing part.
So you wanted to trade the sulfuric acid for sugar, really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad you did.
A different kind. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad to listen. I don't know where you've been all my life, but like, let's get some food going here. You know,
desserts.
Desserts, of course. You know, baking.
And you get it. Like when you're a chef, you meet a lot of chefs that like when it clicks, it clicks. And that was one of those moments in my life. When you're young, not a lot of things click because life is complicated. But when you're 20, 21, and all of a sudden you start doing something and you're like, oh my God, this makes sense. I could do this with my eyes closed. And you just like, you go down a rabbit hole, and not before you know it, you're just firing all cylinders.
Well, I think it's nice. What's refreshing is to see really anybody. When you come across somebody that has a passion, regardless of what it's for, whether, you know, cooking or, you know, whatever, it's refreshing. It's nice to see, especially if what you're doing, you're at the caliber or level that you are, you know, with the whole baking and pastry, from that aspect. So, man, congratulations. You're doing some really, really cool stuff.
When
you're finished, when you're done with all this, well, you're in Massachusetts. You're up in Boston now. You're in Mass.
You might be in New Hampshire.
Mass. At some point, what we'll do is we'll have you. We'll figure it out. We'll have you come down and we'll bring you to the studio, and you'll have to.
He wants desserts.
Yeah. Well, no, but we're going to shoot it too.
Yeah.
I mean, we happen to have the premier, the best food photographer, most sought after food photographer in the food industry right now, John Hernandez over at Ibis Images, putting out amazing, amazing work. So
that would be sick. Yeah. That would be sick.
Especially when he's working with somebody savory all the time, and then he switches to, 'cause Robert does some incredible presentations for whatever he's doing, really.
Dude, I mean, I dove into his Instagram. I was all over it. In fact, the stuff you're doing for Christmas, that slutty Santa was stupid.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That looks stupid. Yeah. Like, what? I'm telling you, like, I need that in my life.
The book.
I love it.
Is the book the same publisher as somebody we know, or like, how did you get involved with that? I didn't even know you did the book.
So the book was through how I met Jeff is through Keith Saracen. Him and I were like best friends. He'll tell you a story, but he like slid into my DMs when I was working at Cultivar in Boston. He's like, who is this guy? And you know, there's a lot of things on Instagram that are, they look pretty, but doesn't mean they taste good or they're real. And he came in for dinner and he was like blown away with my desserts. And we talked for the longest time and we just stayed connected. And he's always wanted to do events. We got really close. I do farmers dinners with him. I do the Atma, which is his Indian pop-up series. And we do private catering. That's when Jeff comes up. This is where we met, and we do weddings, all that together. And he has going on 6 cookbooks, and he's the one who got me the gig. His publisher was looking for a pastry chef to write a book.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, by the way, I just purchased it yesterday. So it's going to be here tomorrow. Same. So when I come up in May, I expect a signature. Thank you.
Yeah, done, of course. Baby. You're getting a hug too.
Definitely. And this is what it's about. Like when you go up and then you meet somebody like Robert and then you get introduced as an outsider, in the welcome that you get, the camaraderie you get, and that's the something about the chef family. You know, even Jackson, the other guys that work, Nicole that's moved on and Beach that moved on, you just have this camaraderie where you can pick up the phone. Even the Andrew, he's not new. He's new for me. He's not new to Keith and
right.
Robert. So they're just, the camaraderie is just there. And the last event we did was...
It's a brotherhood.
Yeah. The last event, though, remember in the farmhouse with... went outside up in the north where the mountains were, God, I can't remember that one.
Oh, we were in, oh my God, what's the name of that? Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yeah, thank you. I would never remember
the town, but that's the lake. Yeah.
I wouldn't have not remembered that.
I mean, no, it's like, remember T.Y. Park. That's like T.Y. Park in Hollywood. Tobiyagi Uji Wagi Wagi.
A ton of Native American names up here. Mountains, lakes, all that.
Yeah. So obviously you're doing the show right now. You know, you've got the book. What's coming up? What's your next big thing?
Attention chefs and food buyers. Are you looking to improve your proteins program with quality and service by the best in the beef business? Reach out to Peninsula Food Service. With 25 butchers on staff, their services will dazzle you and impress your dining guests. Peninsula is the largest Creekstone Farm distributor in the Southeast United States. Let the gang at Peninsula Food Service cut your beef burdens away and ask about their dry-aged program. Look them up at peninsulafood.com.
Oh man, right now, kind of taking this step by step. I'm doing a lot of consulting work, working where I can. There's such a gap in the pastry world. I think post COVID, a lot of people have left the industry, and there's a lot of places that are opening as well. My ultimate goal will eventually open up and do my own place. But when the time is right, I've got so much going on right now that if I do something too quickly, it might spread me too thin. And right now, I'm just going to just take care of me. And that's the best thing. And that's why it's a big reason why I did the show, the big reason why I do all these private dinners and private events. It's just a way to exercise myself and grow in a certain way and in a different way and make it, you know, make it fit into my world and what I'm looking for.
On the show, the current show, so I think it was seven episodes in, something like that?
Yeah, even no better.
I think it's seven or eight. I forget the number. Yeah, I think eight just aired, yeah.
Does it actually get more difficult as you progress, or do you find that there's more stress or pressure in the very beginning?
For me, I don't know about everybody else, but I know for me, I felt like there was more pressure early on. You don't want to be the first person to go home, right? Like, you don't want to be that person. It happens. Someone has to go. What's awkward, like the pressure at the beginning is also just kind of understanding the equipment and where everything is and how everything moves around. You're like, it's like flying up to do a stage in a new kitchen and you're trying to impress for a job, but you know, you're not really comfortable. So I think at this point of the show, I was much more comfortable what was getting thrown my way because I kind of knew the flow, the system, where everything was. So I think that's the best way to answer that.
Your counterpart, I know he's a competitor of yours that's just in the same location in Boston. You guys were on the news together. Talk about that one. He's phenomenal, by the way. Talk about...
Alex.
Yeah.
Alex is an absolute beast. I've had so many people be like, he's a French guy. He must be stuck up. He's a jerk. I'm like, no, he's quickly turned into one of my best friends. The guy is a gem, and any questions you have, any sort of advice, he just mentors you and tells you this is how you do it. And he's so experienced, and we connected so well through the show. It was funny because when we started the show and I had met him for the first time, like this is right at the end of like COVID protocol kind of thing. So he like is, you know, getting his, I heard his voice before I met him. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. They have a French pastry chef on this show. Come on. Like, that's not even fair. So then I'm like, oh, great. But we got so close, and, you know, and I didn't even know him. And I know a lot of people in Boston in the industry, but I had never crossed paths with him. But on the few off days that him and I had, we went on a few adventures, and like we did the Warner Brothers, the Warner Brothers tour together, him and I. And then we did Universal Studios another day, just him and I on one of the off days. We had such a blast. We enjoyed each other's company, and it was such a good friendship.
If his name was Claude or Jacques, then you would have been it would have been terrible. You know what I mean? Alex or Alexander's not so bad. Yeah.
If it was Claude or Francois, you know, it's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
We're going to be friends.
It's serious.
But I will tell you, like, I watched the show. My wife really likes all the baking competitions. I have to say that your group of chefs that are on this particular episode or season, that is some strong damn competition, bro. I mean, seriously,
it's wild. And you see it more now as it's coming out, but when you're in it, you don't have time and you don't really get a chance to look at what everyone's doing, and you don't take, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get a, so you like, I'm seeing so much of it for the first time and seeing what other people are doing. Because once you're done, it's they're moving on to the judging. So you're not sitting there like looking around, touching, you know, looking at people's desserts and tasting stuff. So it's you get to really appreciate the artistry and the work of, and the talent of those that you were surrounded with. It's a different appreciation.
You know, I got to tell you, like right now, John, our producer,
he's scrolling.
He's stalking your
Instagram page
right now. And by the way, everybody, if you're listening, Chef Bobby Robbie is the handle, but like we were just looking at this rose. It was like a red rose. He moved in. Yeah, man, you do some pretty. So let me ask you this: Are you, obviously you bake as well. I mean, you know, breads, where do you fall? Like, where's your true love? Which part of pastry is your like main hub?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't mean to hurt your feelings with that either. Yeah, I don't want to put you in a spot.
No,
you know?
No, I got you. This reminds me of like when, as a chef, when they ask you what's your favorite dish or what do you like to make the most. My strong suit is plated desserts. That is because I think it's like what my mentor taught me, and that was my first exposure. So I know that's like my strong suit, like high end plated desserts, like event desserts, stuff like that. Deep down, my like super secret pet, not super secret if you know me, but I really want to do is ice cream. I always wanted to open an ice cream shop, like have something that's seasonal, like out on the Cape.
Or how about down here in Tampa? Come on, man.
You're really gonna have to. You're gonna have to like convince me to come back to Florida,
brother. Man, Tampa is nothing like South Florida. It's wicked cool here. I can tell you that.
Wicked cool.
That is true. That is true. That is true. South Florida is its own continent, its own country.
By the way, amen on that. Hold on, Jeff. Wait a second. Right now, we're in what? We're in late April, right? The mornings are still 55 and 60 degrees.
The high is 70 up there, just so you know.
Yeah, I know that, but it's...
Wow.
The high is 70.
Up
so it's
there.
Still, right, but it's still kind of cold. Over here, 55, 60 in the morning. It's beautiful. I'm just saying.
All right, I have to, because I just got... his arms just went up, and he mouthed to me. He's looking at one of your plates, and he went, I want to shoot that.
This is John, by the way.
Yeah, he doesn't talk much. He doesn't talk at all, actually. So he's actually really digging some of your plating. He's
shaking his head. Yeah. He's making all sorts of like.
He's got a smirk on.
We got to pick a few of those and we can recreate them for the photo shoot or something. You let me know. I'm down.
I've never seen this guy smile before.
Yeah.
And
well, because you know why? He's always doing savory.
He's always doing. Well, he's unhappy. No.
Listen, I'll tell you one thing.
I'm kidding.
I have that effect on men. What can I tell you?
You know what I'm saying? It happens to the best of us, man. It happens to the best of us. So, yeah, they're pretty dishes.
Tell me now that you went in and you did, I know you worked for Norman Van Aken back in when you first got started, and that was more of, and I know he hates the word Floridian cuisine. He likes infusion or something like that. What was it like from going from a Florida-based knowledge, going up to the Northeast, and then meeting Keith, and now getting into this whole nother realm of desserts with Indian cuisine?
Oh, it is. It's wild. Like one, I love it because I like learning and growing. Like I think like death, like stagnation is death, like kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like working with Norman, and then I worked the executive pastry chef with Max. It was very like Florida centric, so a lot of tropical fruits, and I didn't understand seasonality. I'll give you that, because we had access to so much all the time. Coming to New England, I became so focused and was really introduced to that side of things, like the seasonality, the farm to table, sourcing from local farms. I didn't have that in Florida because I was so spoiled. I can get mango, passion fruit, berries, whatever the hell I wanted. It didn't really matter. But up here, I had to kind of shift myself and the way I made desserts changed, like not with seasonality, what was available, what was coming in from like Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, you pick it. And now learning. So I'll tell you one cool thing about like the Indian cuisine. Like I don't do, because Indian desserts aren't like, it's not something that they're really known for, but I take the flavors and Keith has taught me so much about the background and the idea and where it comes from. And I take those flavors and I infuse it into my style. So I kind of do an Indian fusion, and he lets me run with it because that's the best way to do it. Because I'm not an auntie. I'm not trained in that way, but I'm going to take the flavors, and he brings me things that are like, that are made handmade from scratch that are just outstanding. And then I take those flavors and those notes and those textures, and I replicate in a different way.
I think pastry is one of those positions where you don't put a lid on the personality. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously if there's a skill set, let that individual do what they want to do.
100%.
I think 100%. Hands down, the pastry chef that goes onto the savory side of things is a weapon that should not be touched. It is a ninja. Because, no, and I'm being totally serious. Because
sugar ninja?
You're right.
No, it's not even just a sugar ninja. You have to think about the science behind the food that you're talking about, pastries, right? There's a different mentality. Yeah. There's a different mindset getting in there and going in there. When you're a cook or a chef and you're doing savory, if something's too salty, you know that the counteract that is either sweet or vinegar or an acid. When you have something too salty in pastry, you're done. You got to throw it out and start all over again. So their knowledge of that realm and much more, when you get into that savory side, they can do some layers on there. And I know a lot of chefs that, you know, go back and forth as far as pastry and savory. Fiona is one of them. They just kick butt, man. They're like Indian chefs. They have such a knowledge of the herbs, the spices, the blends, and the flavor profiles that they have. They can go so deep. It's ridiculous.
Well, especially when you bring that to the States, because it's something different, you know. I would like to get into some of that. I mean, we should touch a little bit more.
And what, pastry?
Yeah.
Well, I think we know a pastry chef that can introduce us to another pastry chef named Alex, maybe, and then talk to some other people.
Well, sure. Hey, who, Bobby, chef, who was, you were saying, talking about Max. Do you know, what's Max's last name?
Santiago.
I know Max. That's what I thought. Yes. Yeah, so I used to work with Max down in, I was at a.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, he's a cool dude, man. He was, when he was down in the South Beach there, what the hell hotel was that?
Yep.
The Delano? No. Oh,
God. He worked. There was one that I forget her name. This has been years. You're taking me back. But he left the restaurant and he worked at a hotel. Because he worked at several hotels in Miami Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't remember.
Meridian?
It was a seafood themed restaurant in a hotel.
What was her name? Bernstein.
Oh, Michelle Bernstein. Yeah. That was the Mandarin.
That was it.
No, it wasn't at the Mandarin. It was somewhere. Anyway, Max is what a great guy, badass too, and he's doing his donut thing.
Killing it. That's his passion. Like the guy, that's where I got my inspiration, because that was my introduction to the kitchen. He was such like a. He was so tough on me and so militant, but he was like in such like a good way that I didn't like, I thought he was such a jerk when I worked for him. And then I realized like him, you know what I'm saying? Like he was so hard and he was so like specific and precise that's what made me better. And I took so much of his style and his artistry and I continue to it to this day that it was drilled into me. But like someone like him who does the most gorgeous plated desserts and showpieces, and his passion are donuts. And even that, he just took something as like fried dough and he's blown it out of the water.
It
just shows you, like we were talking about passion.
It's contagious. Were you with him while he was at that
Michelle Bernstein?
Yeah, were you there with him?
No, I was. I was with him when I was working with Norman at Tuyo.
Okay,
this was for 2 years.
Because Norman just opened a place in Orlando.
Yeah.
In Dr. Phillips area. Yeah.
Yeah. That might happen too. That's something to look forward to.
Yeah. I can't wait to show him the picture from 1997 of him and I.
He's going
to
go, who the hell are you?
He's going to say, who the hell is that? I'm going to be like, it's you.
that's another story. Yeah. The next time we talk to Mac, we've been threatening each other to have him on the program for a long time. It's just so hard, you know, what he's doing, man. He's wrapped up 100%.
He's busy. Busy.
So Robert, you know, now that you're at the level you're at, are there, what chefs are out there that are doing things that you're like, wow, I want to do something like that? And then on the flip side, what would you talk to, like, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, I want to get into pastry, what would you tell them? So it's a two-part question.
Oh man, that first one's a tough one. A lot of the pastry chefs I look up to are doing things that I like. It's weird. Like I look up to like most people, but you look up to chefs that do things that you don't think you can do or that you want to be doing. I couldn't name one like right off the bat, but I follow a lot of chefs in New York City, because it's not too far. I just did a masterclass where I was like attending to learn from a pastry. He's the pastry chef over at Danielle's in New York City, the two Michelin. And it was a 3-day course, and we did all 6 desserts that he serves at the restaurant. And it was just great to work next to him. He used to work in Boston, and it was just great to meet him, work next to him, and like learn techniques. And even though I, you know, like to you guys, I'm like, man, you're really at your high point. And to me, I'm like, now there's so much more to go. Cause I'm the type of person that I always feel like I'm going to be learning and forever growing. And it's stuff like that. It's like really tight plating, like let's really work on flavors. And I think a big thing, I know you guys have talked about this in the past, and when it comes to chefs I'm really big into chefs that like talk about what's going on in the industry, like between mental health, between where the industry is, how we can do things better. Because I think a lot of that was lost, and now it's really come to the forefront, and we ran away from it, and nobody wanted to talk about it. So it's a big, I love seeing that, where people are very honest and open about struggles and successes.
I think that's one of the, and if you're going to point that some positive that came out of COVID, I think it's that, you know, because Everybody was, you know, we've all been in the zone and in our flex for however many years or decades even. And, you know, when it all stopped, you had to kind of like look around, you know, figure out, well, wait a minute, this is crazy. And then to gear back up and to get back into the workforce as we're all coming out of it. I mean, it was a little different here in Florida, you know, because there was only a small break, but you know, same concept anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we've lost even Boston. What has occurred is the city itself has struggled to bounce back. You know, there's tourists and people coming through, but there's a lot of places that have closed because rent and leases are so expensive. However, what has boomed have been all the burbs. So all the suburbs, northwest and south of Boston, there are little places that have just, and all the, because it's just much cheaper, but then that's where all the good chefs are, all the great restaurants and the great bakeries. And no one's really doing much in the city per se.
Well, everybody left for the space.
But to your, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And no one's commuting to the city. How are these places going to survive? They lost thousands of people a day that were walking through there, you know?
Well, not only that, everybody's staying home because they realize they can get out of the office and not have that on their ROI, and everybody can work at home. Or a smaller business, so they lost the commercial and real estate went to crap.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Exactly.
Hmm. All right. So, did I hear him say he was gonna? He's coming right over right after the show finishes. There's a plane. He's down.
I'm hopping on a flight.
All right. Yeah.
Nick won't let him go. he doesn't want to be in South Florida.
Well, can't. Well, Tampa, man. We're Central Florida. It's different, different here. It's bring your boots, bring a 10-gallon hat,
true,
man.
I do love at West Coast Florida, though, the water, 10 out of 10. I'm with you. I'm such a Gulf guy. Mm-hmm. I never liked going to the Atlantic or Miami Beach or anything like that. That was our trip, was going to Sanibel, Longboat Key, everything like that.
Yeah, well, Clearwater, hands down, my opinion, has the
W.
Yeah, it's the winner.
That W Hotel when Nano is at. That's just gorgeous. Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna definitely do that. Is Instagram your main hub? That's what your main social is.
Yep.
All right,
absolutely.
Go ahead and say that again for everybody to find you.
Yeah, find me at Chef Bobby Robbie on Instagram.
All right. Well, listen, Bobby, my man, look, this was an awesome, awesome time today. Appreciate you taking up time to be, you know, your time to be on the program. Good luck. Kick some ass out there. You know,
when's the finale for the event?
It's going to be, so Monday is the 22nd is the next episode, and I believe it runs to the 6th. So I believe May 6th is the finale.
Well, good luck. We're following you. And again, appreciate you being on the program, my man. Good luck and God bless.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, my man. Peninsula. Chefs out there, Central Florida, give them a call. Watch what's coming up with Metro. We got something with Metro. We're going to be dropping it soon. We are out.
The
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.